thrillers, blowouts, upsets, delays. Week three had it all in high school football here locally. We're going to get to all of it today on Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer, alongside, as always, the incomparable voice of high school football in Southern Nevada, like 15-time Hall of Famer or whatever, Raymond Brewer, who's feeling a little under the weather today. So I might have to talk a little more than normal, unfortunately.
I would say the blowout, unfortunately, Case, I was on the wrong side of.
Yeah, well, one of the blowouts. There had to have been some other ones, right? But yeah, that one of
the blowout you're talking about, yeah. I was on the wrong side.
One of our games of the week, and it's behind me now. I can't remember what was the line, like 8.5? 9.5, I had Arborview. Arborview wins 44-14.
Could have been worse.
Canyon Springs. Yeah, pretty bad, though. Before we get any further, we want to remind you that we're brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety, where we're trying to pledge zero teen fatalities. We want your eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. Just get to our next high school game safely.
And our player of the week this week, Andrew Peterson of Sierra Vista, had two pick sixes on defense, two touchdowns on offense, and the Mountain Lions, Case, 3-0.
I told you I'm high on the Sierra Vista team.
Who have they played? Go ahead and tell me who they've played.
You tell me, because it seems like you're the one trying to make a point here. So why don't I don't need to make it for you?
Well, they played Sunrise Mountain and Western
and Desert Oasis.
Well, Desert Oasis is a above average, is a nice win, but Sunrise Mountain and Western, that's the little sisters of the poor or whatever I say.
The important thing to me though is they're not just it's not like they're squeaking by in these games. They're looking good in all of them.
They're hammering it down.
Yeah, they're destroying these teams. So it would be one thing if they were squeezing by Western and Sunrise Mountain, but they're not. I will tell you though, look at the stretch coming up. Mojave at Cheyenne versus Clark, at Faith versus Spring Valley, at Pahrump Valley. Maybe the end's not as tough, but the next like 4 weeks, we're going to learn for sure if they're a real sleeper or if they're just ganging up on some undermanned opponents.
I agree. I do think that the Mountain Lions, and I don't want to turn this into a Sierra Vista podcast, but Malik Brody's pretty good.
Yeah,
and He's built like a tough to bring down tailback. I think him and Ty Flanagan are going to combine to rush for 600 yards on Friday night.
I like starting off with the Sierra Vistas of the world. Get some other teams some notoriety. So while we're at it, another 3-0 team that I think we would say is a huge surprise, Del Sol.
The Dragons, yeah. Yeah.
Should we maybe have seen this coming? I mean, I know they were rough last year, but this is a program that's traditionally been pretty good. Gary Mackey, his teams are ready to play on Friday nights, dropping a division. Maybe he turned some things around there and beat Virgin Valley. Seems like they're getting better every week, too. They barely squeezed by Valley. Now they're beating Virgin Valley, who I know is pretty high on their team going into this year. I think Del Sol's got to be happy with the 3-0 start.
Yeah, and with the 3-0 start, Case, you build some confidence in yourself. So the kids think that they're better than they might actually be, or in Del Sol's case, as good as they are. If you look at, you know, another team that had been down for a few years, El Dorado, they've beat Shap and Sunrise Mountain. They played Durango this week. They'll have a chance to go to 3-0. So I like how some of these teams that have struggled over the years, or the most recent years, how they're picking up some W's, gaining some momentum. It makes everything a lot more fun. But shout out to the Dragons, Daniel Tyus with 3 touchdown runs against Virgin Valley.
Yeah, it seems like they're just running the ball like crazy. We got some Sierra Vista names out there, so some Del Sol names, along with Tyus, Jay Pete, and Tommy Killen, I think. They're all averaging over like 6 yards a carry and have multiple touchdowns on the year.
Yeah, in fact, I think in Del Sol's initial 2 games, they didn't complete a pass.
Wow.
So their running must be doing good.
Yeah, obviously. All right, well there's some teams that have surprised us so far. Of course, started that because of our Sun Player of the Week, the kid from Sierra Vista. We want to remind you to send us your nominations weekly. The one ground rule that we may have failed to mention last week is make sure they weren't players that were on our All-Sun team. These are more like under-the-radar guys that we're looking for the year for our Player of the Week. So no one that was on the All-Sun team, but kids that kind of came up and made big contributions. Just trying to recognize some of those guys, and I think we're off to a good starting three so far.
I agree.
All right, well, I guess the other the two other big stories, you tell me where you want to start, of this week were Coronado Liberty, last second field goal from Coronado falls short. Liberty holds on. You win your bet of, I think you had Liberty. You had Coronado plus 6.5. Sorry, I have to keep turning around to look at these betting lines. So that was a big one. And then the other big one, Bishop Gorman stays undefeated with another just one they have to claw out. They go for a 2-point conversion to stay undefeated and beat another national team.
Yeah, and Gorman's defense a little problematic. They couldn't stop Centennial. Centennial moved the ball up and down the field, had a hurry-up offensive attack, and Gorman will see that this week with Santa Margarita, a team that last year threw the ball around on them very well. And you got to give Gorman credit. Still undefeated. The last 2 weeks, it's been very dramatic. And Tony Sanchez goes for two with about 2:30 to play. Figures the defense wasn't holding up its end of the bargain. Might as well take an opportunity to win the game. I don't know if I would have gone for two, though.
I knew we were going to get into this argument as soon as I read the story. I was so happy when I read the story. You know, one of my big things that I love in football is coaches making aggressive calls, and which often is the right call. And from everything I know, even if Gorman's defense wasn't having a bad day, I think going for two is the right call here. And I loved when I read that. I think Tony Sanchez made a just terrific call.
Yeah. Do you buy into the theory that you play for a tie at home and you go for the win on the road?
I mean,
I'm just conservative. I want to stay in the game as close as I can. I'm only thinking in the current. Tie it up, play D, see what happens.
I mean, your odds, there's been a million studies on this, and they all come to the same conclusion, that your odds are better to win the game right there and go for the two. You're going to convert, if you have a good offense, which Gorman does, you're going to convert the two more often than not. I mean, probably with the weapons they have, I bet it's somewhere like 75 or 80% of the time. Therefore, you have a better chance of just winning there than kicking back off, especially when you have a defense that's kind of gotten run over. I loved the call. I thought it was great.
And that's the thing, they had a play that they thought they were going to be able to convert on.
And on the road, I do agree with you, on the road does add something.
Yeah, but I like how, you know, Sanchez said even when they were down by 14, he knew that if they got in a situation where they tied it up, that they would just go for two.
So he's, loved it. Give yourself a helmet sticker, Tony Sanchez. I think that was a great call.
Is he going to wear it on his ball cap? Helmet sticker on the ball cap? Alize Jones, by the way, he went went off, had, I think, 180 yards, scored on that 2-point conversion, was the number one rated tight end in the nation, showed why for a reason, and good job for Gorman. I think what people don't realize is that, you know, they're playing this, as they say, gauntlet of a schedule, six straight games against nationally ranked teams to open the season. They've been into L.A., I think, twice in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a lot out of kids.
I mean, twice basically in 2 weeks, I think in like 14 or 15 days.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how good you travel and how prepared you are, which I've seen Gorman before on the road, and they're like, you know, overly prepared. They're watching film in the lobby and having walkthroughs, and every meal is planned. And I'm sure they're traveling on a bus that is, you know, not the old yellow school wagon. I don't care how prepared you are. To go down there twice in 13, 14 days is tough on kids. It'd be tough on adults, right?
Yeah, it's tough. I think you lead me perfectly into what I wanted to say next. I've been causing a little trouble on the podcast this year, and I think I'm going to have to do it again here.
Go ahead.
Tony Sanchez compared it to like an SEC schedule. I totally agree. I agree with everything you're saying, too. But I think you look at the results the last couple of weeks, this team is worn down. You look at the quotes from the coaches. You look at the way they've been playing. I'm going to say it right now. I know everyone at Gorman wants a national championship, wants to be undefeated. There is no way they're winning both these next two games. Six straight weeks against powers in the country. I know Santa Margarita is not supposed to be as good this year, it looks like. They're not in any of the two rankings I have up. That's still going to be a tough game after you've just had a month's worth of beatings against like great teams. You've had these physical games. So you have to play Santa Margarita. Then they probably get out of that one unscathed. I think I'm picking them. Spoiler. But then you have to play St. John Bosco, who's like one of the best programs in the nation.
They're number one right now, Bosco, and Gorman's now number three.
I was about to say, yeah. Bosco looks like they're ranked ahead of them in just about every poll. I know Bosco has to come all the way here, but this back-to-back game stretch, I think it was a little too much to ask to go undefeated through all these six games. So there's my fire for Gorman. I'm saying right now, you're not going undefeated these
Let me read to you. Santa Margarita's got a SID, so they're fired up about it.
I've been getting some of the emails.
Let me read you the email. Last year, Gorman prevailed 34-31 in overtime at Saddleback College against Santa Margarita. In that game, sophomore quarterback KJ Costello threw for a school record 446 yards, and Kyle Sweet caught 13 passes for 294 yards.
Kid's a sophomore, so he's back?
Yeah.
I just figured since I don't see Santa Margarita ranked anywhere, they weren't as good as they were last year. Maybe
yeah,
that's
and
not the case.
Okay, apparently okay, so it goes on to this. Santa Margarita's already set number of team and individual records. Plays in a game, 86. Yards in a game, 613. Completions in a game, 27. Receptions in a game, 15. Kyle, the wide receiver, is the first receiver to reach 30, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Santa Margarita averages a remarkable 500 yards per game, 24 first downs, and 40 yards of possession. They're dominating the clock with the 26-minute time of possession and running 50 more plays in the opposition. And yeah, we could obviously say that's not Gorman, but then again, they slung it around against Gorman last year. And I told you, remember, go back to Dr. Brewer case. I said the only way to beat Gorman, you're not going to run through them because they're bigger than anybody. You got to turn it into a 7-on-7, a passing
league. Half those stats are passing.
I know. That's how you got to beat Gorman.
Yeah, okay.
Right? That's how Centennial almost beat Gorman. Centennial Corona last week. That's how Santa Margarita almost beat them last year.
That's not how Bingham almost beat Gorman.
They ran it through them?
Yeah, that's all. They couldn't throw the ball at all. They completed five passes the whole day.
Bingham's strong and physical, but look, I think Bingham gained like 200 yards against Gorman, give or take. How many of that came off fake punts?
I agree.
Right?
Gorman was a lot better than them. But I'm just saying, seeing how close, and maybe I would have agreed with you more a year ago, but seeing how close Bingham was and being there and seeing that they could not throw the ball at all, maybe their quarterback is just having an off night, or I thought it was the secondary played great. That makes me think that with these really good national teams, there's more than one way that Gorman can be beat. Maybe locally, you might be right. That's the only way you can beat them. But
okay, let me ask you this. This is totally looking way too far in the future, and there's no guarantee that Liberty even gets there. But if Liberty wins the Sunrise for the fifth straight time and Gorman, of course, wins the Sunset, they would meet in the state semifinals over Thanksgiving weekend. Do you think with Liberty, with Dudeau, who is Mr. Awesome, probably the best player in town this year, Brian Rowland, that wide receiver, and the quarterback who's just a freshman but seems to be slinging it around okay, do you think Gorman could do pitch and catch? I mean, Liberty could do pitch and catch and beat Gorman? It'd be like Phillip Rivers yesterday against the Seahawks. He had each pass out in like 2.3 seconds.
I mean,
how you got to do it, baby.
As of right now, I would say no, just from what I'm seeing from Liberty. I know Coronado's very good, but they still only squeaked out that win. And I know that the freshman quarterback, Oblad. Okay, I know Kenyon Oblad. I know he's been good for the most part, but he's also thrown some interceptions. I still think he needs to mature and progress, which is a lot to ask of a 14-year-old or however old he is by the end of the season.
And also, Liberty has another good receiver, 21. I can't remember his name.
Achodio,
yeah. He's a sophomore, too,
Darian,
right?
Darian,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, they do have a lot of talent.
They got three good wideouts, and then all you got to do, I mean, maybe the freshman's advanced. And then I would make Noah Jefferson like the personal protector of Oblad that day.
I mean, in theory, I like what you're saying. I need to see a little bit more from Liberty first. I think Oblad's off to a good start, but you need to keep seeing that progression. I think you need to see him get a little bit more efficient, cut down on the turnovers a little bit. Because, I mean, he's averaging at least one turnover a game, if not more. And
he's
I don't think
he
can turn the ball over against
Gorman.
No, I'm not blaming the kid. I think he's been great. I'm just saying to beat Gorman.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, shout out to Gorman. Holding up the Silver State flag. Home means Nevada. Home means the Hills. They get the win. They play Santa Margarita Friday. I got the over. Put it that way.
You think they can win both? You think they can go undefeated? I just made a bold guarantee. I said they're not winning both these next two games. Am I off base here?
Well, I think I always had Santa Margarita marked down as a W, so I'm not going to change my tune. I just don't know if they could beat Bosco. If they would have
to get them at home, though.
You're right. You're up to great to get them at home.
All right.
Let's talk Coronado.
Yeah.
Who I've been on all season, correct?
I wasn't there, but if I was, I bet I would have thought that Coronado was probably going to win this game with 50 seconds left or whatever, or however many seconds were left when they got the game-winning field goal. You got a Kofer running out there to kick a field goal who I know – I mean, I just know that the kid has a great leg. They're down 1 point at the end of the game. I really probably thought this was going to be the time Liberty finally loses to a divisional opponent, but not meant to be. The field goal misses just by yards. Coronado falls 14-13.
Brad Talich was in the hospital all week with pneumonia. Game planned in the hospital, Case. He's a beast.
Just wait if he gets healthy. If they play again in the playoffs, I might have to switch my pick.
Well, that's the thing. God, the sunrise is going to be fun because Green Valley obviously could sling it around with Lopez and Lake, even though they lost to Palo, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got Liberty, Green Valley, Coronado, and who else do you got, Case?
Vegas.
My Wildcats, baby.
I might be in trouble, too. This was a very impressive performance they had against Legacy on Friday. The game you were at, Legacy basically, which I think has a pretty good offense, got shut out for all intents and purposes. They scored on like Las Vegas' underclassmen at the end of the game. I was very, very impressed with what Las Vegas did. And not offensively, where I knew they'd be good, but defensively, I think they made a statement.
They did.
You were there, so tell me what'd you
see? Well, that's the thing. I missed. I showed up late because of traffic. Got there at the end of the first quarter. By then, Vegas was already up by three scores. And
game was over.
And they'd forced three turnovers. With me in attendance, the game was just kind of average for them. But the little fields at linebacker are doing good.
Yeah, I mean, and I knew that was going to be a strength. I knew that those kids could play. I was just – I guess I didn't really know about the rest of the defense. You know, you can say I pick on Vegas all you want, but I feel like in the last few years when they've played good teams, they've given up a lot of points. They've lost some shootouts, and I really would have thought Legacy falls under the good team. Maybe I was a little bit too high on that. But
and it could have been worse. Trevor Swenson threw four touchdowns, but he was also intercepted in the end zone and threw another pick. So if you convert on those – then it's a more thorough victory.
Yeah.
But, listen, I think you bring up a good point. The past Vegas teams were in shootouts. They'd lose 43-41 to Green Valley. They would, you know, get hammered by Liberty. Well, this team, I think, has the defense to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, last year they gave up 24 and 28 points to Basic, 39 points to Green Valley, 47 points to Green Valley. I mean, the list goes on and on. They gave up a lot, 36 to Arborview. Just seemed like when you played the better teams, they couldn't really stop anyone. Maybe that's not the case this year.
We'll find out Friday night at Palo Verde.
What a game. I'm really second-guessing it now after what I've seen what Las Vegas has done. But then again, we see what happens when you doubt Palo Verde because they came out and beat Green Valley in an upset at home a few weeks ago.
Speaking of upsets, the Clark Chargers, a team I love.
How about that?
Upset Faith Lutheran, forced Faith into six turnovers, and had a kickoff return for a touchdown. Now, let me ask you this. An upset, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, okay. A huge upset, okay. Right?
All right. Well, because my guy Tyreek Wells, who I think very highly of, I think he's obviously one of the best players in town, he put on Twitter that it wasn't an upset.
Hey, look, I am all for confidence and believing in your team and stuff, but let me tell you, I'm sorry, Tyreek. This was a big upset. You're playing the defending state champions. They haven't lost in state in, like, what, 16 games? Clark hasn't even won a playoff game since I was alive, probably. This was an upset.
Yeah, and they stormed the field, too.
No, deserved. They should have upset. A huge storm. They should have brought the whole school to storm the field. Upset. A great one, and good on Clark.
And exactly. And Clark has got three or four players. Milan Dixon, Marquise Stewart, or Marquise Stewart, and Wells that could really do some good things. And they also had a pick six from somebody whose name, if you pronounce it right, I'll buy you dinner.
You have his name in front
go
of you?
Go to my game story.
All right. I'm going to work on it.
That division is shaping up to be fun, though, with Clark, Faith, Sierra, Motown, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got to figure Spring Valley's got to be in the conversation.
There's going to be probably a good team.
And Cheyenne.
There's going to be a good team that misses the playoffs, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean at least one good team is going to miss the playoffs, I think. Let's see. I got your story up. I don't see the picks. Oh, okay. Here you go.
Yeah. That's what I said. To
well, good job. Good job on the pick six by Vuki Tamufolau.
Yeah.
We're really bad at the Polynesian names or island names.
My strength.
Whatever.
It's my strength.
Apologize, but shout out to him. That's I mean, that's a huge win for Clark, and definitely they deserve a round of applause. I think also we have to kind of rethink that Desert Pines game. We were sitting in here saying, man, we thought Desert Pines were going to beat Clark by more, but obviously Clark's the real deal, and that was just two really good teams playing when Desert Pines beat Clark 42-40 the other week.
Exactly. And then, of course, in the Division 1A, Moapa Valley had to wait till Saturday to beat Desert Pines. Floods, rain last Monday in Overton, Logandale, and Moapa Valley closed down the I-15. Film, power goes out in the middle watching film. They got to cancel a practice. They spent all day Tuesday cleaning up debris. They get the DP, and this is, Case, the game of the year, because the rest of the Sunrise, I think, is a step below both of those two. So whoever wins gets, you know, in the driver's seat to have home field advantage in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the way through the state semifinals. And Moapa, down in half, comes back, wins the game against Desert Pines. So they persevered, they won the game, and now they're in the driver's seat. But I don't know if Desert Pines losing is that bad of a problem, because Faith, to me, despite the loss to Clark, and you're going to tell me I'm wrong if I am wrong, is Faith still the team to beat? Because I mean, you would want to avoid Faith. So now Faith would be the two, say, if Clark and Faith won out, and now Moapa would have to beat Faith to go to the state semifinals, and DP would get another chance at Clark.
If we were odds makers in here, which sometimes we act like with our $5 plays of the week, I think if we were making a futures board for who's going to win the state championship, I think Faith Lutheran and Moapa are like co-favorites.
Okay,
in my opinion.
I think there's, what, five teams on the board? Faith, and who knows what they have in the north.
Yeah, but I mean, and also a caveat, last year at this time, we probably wouldn't have put Faith Lutheran on a list of 10 to win the state championship.
I wouldn't have.
And they
you
did.
Love Faith.
Yeah, I probably would have, okay. But together we would not have, because okay. You were not high on them.
But between Faith, DP, Moapa, Clark, Mojave, and Sierra, I think those are the six teams. And like I said earlier, Sierra might be, you know, average to below average. We don't know.
Yeah, you would think, but I love the Division 1A. I think I've said this on every podcast, but God, this is just so interesting. I mean, I would not be surprised if any of those teams won the state championship, and I also wouldn't be surprised if some teams you didn't mention maybe
like
won
who?
A playoff game or two. Oh,
okay, a playoff game or two. Okay.
I mean, hey, look you cannot tell me anything as crazier than last year when you were telling me Faith wasn't going to make the playoffs and they won the state championship.
I've been wrong, Case. I've been wrong before.
The D1A is great.
I mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah, you're right. Speaking of shout-outs, a game where I was wrong last week, the Basic Wolves.
Ooh.
Crushed Cimarron Memorial.
Yeah, that was didn't see that one coming either. I thought maybe
– color me surprised.
I haven't seen the
– I love the Dallin Elliott kid, by the way.
What's he play?
Everything.
Okay.
He's a wide receiver, defensive back. He's great. He's all over the field. They threw for some touchdowns.
I was about to say, when they killed who they destroyed, Valley 2 weeks ago, Cahill was talking about their quarterback, Aeneas McAllister, really made some strides.
Just the junior,
I know. They went back to the drawing board, and I was – I mean, not to say this too negatively, but I was thinking in the back of my head, and I think everyone was like, yeah, it was just Valley. I mean, let's see what happens again. But maybe this kid really has come along that far just in 3 weeks.
Well,
I think
we
it says a lot more when you do it against
Cimarron.
I don't know, though. I think if you go back and listen to our picks last week, I think part of the reason we're probably picking Cimarron is we like their defense.
We did.
They hit hard, and they got guys. I think this was impressive.
Yeah, it was. I mean, shout out to the Wolfpack. That was a great win. They've got some good players, and I tell you what, there's not a more confident team in town, right?
You wouldn't think so.
I mean, I tell you who's not confident, Mike Canyon Springs Pioneers.
Yeah, that was bad. I'm already second-guessing myself for saying earlier this year that Canyon Springs might beat Vegas. Not looking good right now.
Well, yeah, please. totally disrespect the Wildcats.
All right, do you want to get to the picks?
Let's get to the picks, baby.
Okay, we lead off with Clark at Spring Valley.
The Thursday night game.
Thursday night game, and this is a good one. Two teams that look better than they've been in recent years this year.
Spring Valley gave up two quick touchdowns last week against Cheyenne and then held them scoreless the rest of the way. And remember, this was a Spring Valley team that lost just 19-7 to Moapa Valley. I definitely think there could be a letdown for Clark after the win against Faith. And Spring Valley, you could make an argument, could be favored in this game. I take the Chargers, though. I can't get off the bandwagon now. Clark 37, Spring Valley 26.
Wow, could be favored? I was about to ask you if you're ready for this, but apparently you are. I'm picking the upset. I'm going with the Grizzlies. This is my upset of the week. I think this game's a lot more even than maybe last week's results would indicate, or at least, I mean, Clark's win being so big. But I like what Spring Valley's doing this year. I like the Christian Tazi kid, who I know has been big for them.
Been real big for them.
Brandon Peterson, you got some speed on the edge. I think the Grizzlies, if Clark's just even a little high on themselves, Spring Valley can put them in their place.
I totally don't disagree with what you're saying. I think this is going to be one of the closer games of the week.
Wow, I thought I was being a lot more bold. Now I'm kind of disappointed.
I know. Shout out to Clark, though.
Yeah, no, Clark, just great turnaround. I mean, it's been year by year, it seems like they get a little bit better. When I first got here, they were obviously terrible, just broken the losing streak. Now they're one of the best teams in the
D1A. And I told you, I think I've told you the story on the podcast, but Don Willis,
great coach,
knows his stuff. I went to a practice one day and I was shocked. I thought it would be his practices are closer to a real practice in a lot of other schools.
Right. All right. So we disagree on that game. Next is Santa Margarita and Bishop Gorman. I already teased it. I wouldn't be surprised if Margarita gave Gorman another scare that comes down to the wire, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won. In fact, because I think Gorman's run down. Margarita's only had three games. Gorman's already had four. But I can't quite pick against Gorman in this spot. I'm going to say they win this week and then lose to Bosco next week.
I kind of agree with you. I do think Margarita is going to put some points on the board. I think Gorman's got a weakness in its pass defense, and this will be a great opportunity for them to make some strides. I think this game is 48-43, Bishop Gorman. I got the over.
Big scoring. That over's got to be inflated a little bit. After
71, that's
couple
the
couple weeks. All right, next game is Liberty traveling down to Arizona to play Hamilton, where I believe they played them at home last year and just barely lost.
They kept it real close against Hamilton last year. Would have been a huge win for Nevada. Anytime a non-Gorman team beats a team from out of state, it's huge. And then Hamilton is a team that's got a national reputation. That would have been a big for Liberty. Hamilton's 3-0. They beat Brophy Prep 50-7. Brophy got destroyed by Gorman as well. I think Hamilton beats Liberty. I think it's close, though, and I think Liberty represents the area well.
I'm going to go with Liberty. I'm an unabashed Liberty homer. You know that. I love this team. I think they didn't play that well last week, probably. Maybe that got their attention. I think they can go down there and
how do you not play well against your rival, Coronado, in the game of the week?
I mean,
it
Coronado
was everybody's
was good. All
game of the week.
Coronado, too. But
I'll credit the Coronado, but saying they didn't play well or they weren't ready, come on, bro.
You disagree is what you're saying?
I'm saying Coronado played better than Liberty.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
okay,
fine.
It wasn't that Liberty wasn't ready to play.
I didn't say they weren't ready. I said they didn't play well.
Oh, you
could be ready and not play well.
Okay, all right.
In my opinion. I don't know. Maybe some coaches should weigh in and tell us.
All right. I'm just saying that. Okay.
I think they had some mistakes. I think they're going to cut it out this week. I think that was probably an eye-opener, how close they came to losing their first Sunrise game in years.
They scored 14 points.
Exactly. All that stuff's going to add up. My guy, who I was just talking about, Oblatt, how he needs to make, and probably just mispronounce his name now that I don't have it in front of me, how he needs to make strides week by week. I think you're going to see a big one now. You love the Doudou kid, and so do I, but you've got me even higher on Ethan Doudou.
Oh, the kid's the truth.
The defense is like loaded with guys that have next-level potential, or not even potential, or going to play at the next level. I think Liberty can do this. This is a big game for them.
But it's at Hamilton. They have to get there, Case.
I like Liberty. You're not talking me off this ledge. I can't believe I thought my Spring Valley pick would be a lot crazier than this one.
You want to make this the $5 play of the week?
What are you giving me?
I don't know. I'll give you 11. I got them winning by 11.
I was thinking 12 and a half.
12 and a half. All right, well, let's go back to it. Let me write that down. Right. I'm not exactly high on it, but I'll write it down. Okay.
All right, we'll think about it.
Next game, my Las Vegas Wildcats.
Oh, I wish this game could be last. I still haven't decided what way I'm going with this.
You want to wait?
Go ahead. Okay. You talk, and I'll think.
Las Vegas at Palo. Palo had a bye week last week. Obviously made great strides from week one when they were blanked by Centennial to week two when they upset Green Valley. Truth of the matter is Palo can't pass the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to run on the Littlefield, Cruz and Jacob linebackers for the Wildcats. I think this is a real close, drag-it-out game, and I think at the end, Vegas pulls away.
Real close, you got it 25-7.
They pulled away, baby. They get two late touchdowns.
All right, I am really torn on this game. I think it's really close. Surprisingly, I would have picked Palo in a heartbeat at the beginning of the year. Being at Palo, though, Palo doesn't lose at home very often. You saw how much better they got from week one to week two. They were talking about how they got back to the Palo Verde way of doing things. Now they've had a bye week. You think they're not even going to be more like that? I think they might have some tricks up their sleeve. I'm going Palo Verde in a close game, and I actually think this should be our $5 game of the week, because how do I not have a $5 game of the week picking against Vegas?
What line do you want?
That's a great question. What do you think it is?
Vegas 5.5.
I'll take it. Done.
All right.
Don't even have to bargain for that one. Now, it's locked in, right? $5. I have Palo plus 5.5.
Yep.
Okay, well, then I don't feel bad that I could have told you. I would have even taken plus 2.5.
It's okay.
All right. I think Palo's going to win a close game, but really that's one to watch. I think that's going to be a great game.
All righty. Foothill at Canyon.
God, this is the loaded week.
I didn't even pick a score for this game.
I got a score for it.
Oh, did I?
25-20 Canyon Springs from you.
Okay, good. I'm not getting off the Canyon Springs bandwagon. I've said all along, Arborview could be the best non-Gorman team in town. I said this is the best Arborview team in Arborview school history. It's been 8 or 9 years. And I said that Arborview is beastly up front. So I'm not backing down from Canyon that just got smacked in the mouth, couldn't get going against Arbor. I'm going to take the Pioneers to get back on track against Foothill.
God, it's killing me to be such a naysayer about Canyon Springs. It's been one of my favorite programs to watch, I think, over the last few years. And now, absolutely, one of my favorite things is to see Donnell Pumphrey tearing it up in college. I know that's kind of an aside, but they've had some great teams. They've produced some great players, but they just don't look very good right now. And I think Foothill is still kind of a sleeper. I think they're getting better and better. I like some of their playmakers. I'm going to go Foothill on this one.
Yeah,
have we ever disagreed on 5 of the first 6 games or whatever this is?
Foothill won last week for the first time. They beat Valley. They've got some good players.
Well, here's one maybe we can agree on. Arborview at Basic. I think the Wolves' 2-game winning streak is nice, but I think it's going to be snapped. I don't necessarily think they're going to get blown out like it looks like you do. I think they could keep it close. I mean, Silverado kept it close for a half, and Basic is probably about on that level. I'm going to go Arborview, though.
I'm going to go Arborview as well. I will say this. Arborview's been banged up. The junior Bishop Jones, who, in my opinion, is one of the best juniors in town, out for the year with a leg injury. Keenan King, chicken pox, he's out. He's got an ASU offer. And Arborview still beat Canyon Springs. So imagine when they get healthy. Speaking of out for the year, Larry Norman Jr. also out for the year for Green Valley.
Disappointing.
Which plays at Silverado. God, it's got to suck, bro. You work your ass off all summer, right?
I'm getting wordy here.
No, I mean, just my heart goes out to the kids, right? You train all, right? Schools like Arbor and Green Valley, they start lifting like in January, right?
I mean, and this kid, Norman, he's been playing since he was a sophomore at Arbor.
Yeah, you train for months and months, and you go to camps, and you put all this time and energy, and you're vested in, and first week of the season, you're done? God, it's awful. And some of these kids might not get to play again. All these injuries that are popping up.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Hart goes out the norm and a kid we've always enjoyed watching. But I will say, and we might mention this kid on the podcast more than anyone else, but Albert Lake's just having
a
great year. Feels like he's playing with something to prove and is doing it so far. I mean, just running all over everyone. And I think he's probably going to do it against Silverado, too. I think right now Lake is kind of carrying that team, and Green Valley will get another win.
Green Valley does get another win. With that said, the Alapifo quarterback for Silverado, pound for pound, one of the best players in town. He's like 5'7". So
interesting. All right.
That's all I got. Shout out to my guy.
Bonanza at Coronado.
Okay. Coronado is going to get the win on this one.
Yeah, I got Coronado, too. Bonanza ended up losing last week, right,
to Durango. Shout out to Durango. Broke an 11-game losing streak.
Yeah, they really wanted that win. They got it. So Durango beats Bonanza, and I think it's going to be another tough one for Bonanza, who, I mean, unfortunately, might be looking at a winless season. Is it possible?
It's possible.
I mean, do they even have any? I think they're underdogs in every game remaining.
I think you're right.
All right.
Shout out again to Coronado, Talich, the man, John Ferrelli, the man.
All right, Legacy at Centennial. I expect a much better effort from Legacy this week. I think they're going to come out and I think they're going to be kind of embarrassed by what happened last week, as they should be. I mean, they weren't even competitive. But that being said, I think Centennial's too good. I mean, when Centennial's clicking, they're as good as any team in town, in my opinion. So I'm going with the Bulldogs.
Good pick on the Bulldogs. I got to see Legacy up close, and they got a lot of good players, man. They got a lot of good, healthy-looking players. I probably caught them on a bad week. They're probably not as bad as that loss to Vegas, but they're probably not as good as you think. I got Centennial winning by 20.
All right, Cheyenne at Faith Lutheran. I think Cheyenne's pretty decent this year. They've done some good things, but not the time you want to see Faith Lutheran when they're coming off a loss. I think Faith Lutheran will be really focused, and I think up front they will just dominate this game. So I got the Crusaders.
I agree with you. I got the Crusaders as well. 39-8. Cheyenne got its first win last week. Great timing because it was the league opener, but they had a hard time moving the ball. And I think Faith needs to make a statement that they are the big dog.
All right, Desert Oasis at Shadow Ridge. Desert Oasis really struggling this year. Shadow Ridge, still a confident bunch. I like Shadow Ridge.
I like Shadow Ridge as well. I think they've returned like 5 kicks for touchdowns in 2 games.
Wow, who is it, you know?
No clue.
Let's look it up. Maybe get the kid a...
They had 3 against Liberty, I believe, and then 2 against Green Valley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, some good special teams over there.
Yeah.
Far north, wherever Shadow Ridge is. I've actually never been there.
It's like, you know where St. George is at?
Yeah.
It's like two exits before St. George.
Wow.
It's still technically in Nevada, but...
barely.
Yeah. It's up there. You get a nosebleed if you go up there too far.
Yeah. Dejon Roberts. Dejon? It's a Z. I don't know how to pronounce it, though. He's been returning these kicks for Shadow Ridge.
Well, maybe he should have been the player of the week.
Pretty sick. We're going to actually keep an eye on Dejon Rogers. I'm throwing him out as a player of the week, player of the week.
Could you go do the story, though, that week?
I've never been to Shadow Ridge. I might as well see it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Next game, Durango at El Dorado. Durango riding high after that win, but El Dorado undefeated, coming off of a bye week, I think.
Yep, pretty evenly matched game here, Case.
I don't know. I think El Dorado's better. I'm going Sun Devils.
I'm going Sun Devils as well, but I think it's going to be closer. I don't want to bet on this because I have very little information on both teams.
All right, Boulder City at Del Sol.
Shout out to Rancho for giving Boulder City a great game on Friday. The final, I believe, was 32-13.
Still going to be a rough year for Rancho, but it seems like they have a little bit more fight maybe.
Yeah, Boulder City committed a... years worth of penalties and had unforced errors, possibly overlooking the opponent. They will not overlook Del Sol. Boulder City hands Del Sol its first loss, 38-19.
Is this going to be the first time in history? I think you're going to pick Boulder City, and I'm just so stunned to see you picking Boulder City that I think I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm all in with Del Sol right now. I like what they're doing. I'm going with the upset. Second week in a row, Dragons.
All right. All right.
The game's at Del Sol, too. Boulder City might be distracted with those planes flying overhead.
Yeah.
Got a good home field advantage.
Yeah.
I like Del Sol. They're playing pretty good defense. I think Del Sol's a hot team right now. You don't want to bet against the streak.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Sunrise Mountain at Moapa Valley. Moapa Valley is going to stomp Sunrise Mountain. I guess Coach Sawyer's over there. He had his chance to beat Moapa Valley when he had one of those really good Virgin teams the last couple of years. Never could do it, and I don't think he's going to do it now with Sunrise.
Yep. DP at Shap. I don't think DP and Moapa are going to lose the rest of the way, so I'm going to take DP.
Wow, that's pretty bold. I would have to look at DP's schedule, but, I mean, they got to have a couple tougher games, right?
They're playing the same teams that Moapa is. Sunrise Mountain, Chaparral, Del Sol, Boulder City.
I mean, at Boulder City's not that easy. That could be a tough game.
It could be.
All right. But I agree with you this
week. They beat Clark, who beat Boulder City. But go ahead.
Hey, look, this math isn't working, if you haven't noticed. In the D1A, everyone's beating each other. Clark also lost to DP.
In a shootout, they were up.
Yeah, and beat Faith. Like, that doesn't make a – I don't know.
Does that mean that Del Sol's going to beat Faith now? No, I mean, you I'm love Del Sol? You can't respect Vegas, but it's Del Sol.
You've
Del
made
Sol.
A living off of reporting on sports for like 20 years. Shouldn't you know it doesn't really matter who one team beats and another team beats if they're somewhat equally matched? We see it all the time.
Good living, too, Case.
Right. Western at Pahrump Valley. Shout out to Katie Visconti, our intern.
Yes.
Pahrump Valley source. We're telling her the players. She's telling us if they're any good or not. Recent Pahrump Valley
graduate. Remember him. He was chubby in high, junior high. Yeah.
So we haven't talked to her about this game, but I'm guessing she's going to say that Pahrump Valley could beat Western.
I would hope so. With that said, Pahrump Valley's been pretty awful the last 2 weeks. Suffered some injuries at Boulder and just haven't been the same. You would think at home against Western, they should be able to pull it off, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Mojave and Boulder, that's a lot tougher than Western. They also destroyed Bonanza week one, which I think is more on par with Western. Give me Pahrump Valley. I'm very disappointed to see your pick in this one, because didn't you kind of roll your eyes at me when I told you that Sierra Vista was going to beat Mojave? I'm on Sierra Vista still. I'm not backing off. But look, go ahead. Tell us why you had to turncoat on Mojave, who you were picking to win the state championship a few weeks ago.
Oh, I was never picking Mojave to win the state. I said they were in contention.
You said they have a good chance.
They have a good chance.
When they were all here at our media day, you're like, Mojave all the way to state, guys. Rattlers, state championship.
I said that to everybody.
No, that's not true. You were not saying that to everyone. There were some teams where you took it over. Board. I admit there that it was more than just Mojave and okay. The D1A, but they were definitely one of them.
Here's why I like Sierra Vista in this spot. And granted, huge step up in competition for Sierra Vista, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, it's like they're going to play this huge step up. They're going from Sunrise Mountain and Western to a team that actually has a Division I running back in Ty Flanagan. Ty Flanagan is great. All city, going to San Diego State. He's put up numbers 3 years in a row now, right? Say yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yes. I love Ty Flanagan.
I love Ty Flanagan, too. He's great. Malik Brody appears to be good, carrying Sierra Vista on his back, along with our player of the week, Andrew Peterson, and others, right?
Mm-hmm.
How, Case, is Mojave going to stop Sierra Vista from scoring? I think Sierra Vista could figure a way out to slow down Mojave a little bit. I just don't think Mojave could slow down Sierra Vista.
All right.
And that's why I'm picking Sierra Vista.
That's a good breakdown. I've been on Sierra Vista all year, so I can't back off now. I think they're going to beat Mojave. I was just taken aback. I did not realize Ty Flanagan was going to San Diego State.
Offer.
Okay, yeah. You said going to San Diego State.
Well, it's his only offer, so if
okay, well, today was February 8th, he'd have to, all right.
He'd have to sign with
him. The kid definitely talented enough to get a few more by signing day. I think he's great, and if Mojave wins, I think it's going to be because he has a huge game, but I agree. Sierra Vista's well-coached. I think they'll have a scheme against him. I got the Mountain Lions. Final game, Rancho at Virgin Valley. Virgin Valley's got to be disappointed dropping two in a row, but I think they get back on track here and beat Rancho.
They better. I got Virgin as well.
All right, Prep Sports Now. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back next week.